God promised them Kentucky 2,000 years ago, okay? Kentucky is the promised land. It is the holy land. It's the land of milk and honey. And it was promised to the Jews. Sorry. Sorry. Now you have to die. Now everyone in Kentucky has to submit or die. It's what God wants. I'm pretty sure. So there have been a bunch of, maybe it's coincidence. Maybe it's all a big coincidence that all of these things happen to be occurring at exactly the same time. But I don't think it is. I don't think it is a coincidence. I think all of these things are intimately involved with each other. And you tell me if I'm the crazy one here. You know, obviously, you talk about the biggest scandals, the biggest things dividing the Republican Party or Americans at this moment. And it is Jeffrey Epstein, Mossad agent, running Jewish honeypot operation to blackmail and control American politicians, as well as tech, whatever, all these people. And the Iran war, which obviously it's on behalf of Israel, service of their greater Israel goal. And they intend to use the Iran war in a couple of different ways, obviously to get rid of their last remaining major rival in the Middle East, so they can act with impunity and have total freedom of action. They want to turn Iran into another Syria where American or Israeli forces can bomb them at will whenever they want, and that Iran will have no ability to respond in kind. But in addition to that, if they can have a Pyrrhic victory where America is severely damaged in the process, all the better, since by the time Iran is taken out, Israel will assume its role as, you know, hegemony in the Middle East, if not the world, and they don't want to be competing with America once that happens. And again, you just have to look at these statements of people like major investors here in America describing how they're withdrawing all of their investments from America to Israel, calling America the falling, dying empire and Israel the rising empire. So at the same time as that, you've got this frantic and hectic and inexplicable drive to build data centers everywhere. You've got the data centers, you've got digital ID coming up, you've got all these anti-Semitism bills being passed. You've got Europe doing things like writing laws to bring back the draft. Obviously, Ed Gowrain is in favor of the draft. People from Palantir talking about reinstating the draft. On top of that, you've got Palantir integrating themselves into basically every system of American society, from healthcare to like driver's licenses, just absolutely everything. That'll be the operating system of the New World Order that's being put in place right now. At the same time as that, you've got things like the Board of Peace being established, and the people who establish it talk about it being a rival or a replacement for the UN. Only on the Board of Peace, you're not going to have representatives of nations. You're going to have representatives or CEOs of corporations. This at the same time that Larry Fink, head of BlackRock, who brought us ESG, who was the engine behind the censorship against InfoWars and Alex Jones and all of us for years on end, who, of course, helped to manufacture and then helped to disperse the funds to fix the 2008 crash. That, of course, following that crash, we saw the crash of fertility in America to levels that are unsustainable and we've never gotten back up. At the same time, you've got, you know, the precedent being set with things like the bombing of the Venezuelan boats, saying, yeah, look, the American president has the right to kill whoever he wants, whenever he wants, with no oversight, no ability to, you know, fight back or argue your innocence. You're an enemy combatant. And they're stretching that definition as long as humanly possible. They're building gigantic, you know, internment camps for immigrants, but no immigrants are being sent to them. I wonder who that's being built for. They're establishing ICE as this, you know, and of course, we want mass deportation, so we're going to support ICE. We're going to be in favor of ICE, and we're going to roll our eyes when the left is talking about the dangerous precedent being set with ICE being this unaccountable federal, you know, police force wearing masks and, you know, violating rights. Obviously, when they're talking about illegal immigrants, we're going to scoff at that and laugh at that and say you're stupid. At the same time, what is the mechanism preventing that same type of force being used against American citizens, especially when they're already setting the precedent recently with denaturalizing American citizens on the basis of terrorism, which they define as opposition to Israel? So all of these things happening at once, I can't help but see the continuity between them, see the way that they're serving each other, that the shutdown of the Strait of Hormuz will lead to the, you know, crashing of food supplies, which will lead to rationing, which will demand a digital ID to manage all of it. And all of that requires massive processing power that they are building the data centers to get. At the same time, the data centers are destroying the water supplies, and the ticks are destroying the wild animals, which I think is actually the purpose of the ticks. Yes, it gives you alpha-gal syndrome and will make you allergic to meat. But how many videos have you seen? I've seen a lot of deer and moose and whatever else literally killed and their bodies covered in these bioengineered ticks. Again, maybe it's all a big coincidence. At the same time, we've got supposedly El Nino coming in, which in normal years leads to massive drought. It's going to affect places that are already in incredible drought, that are building data centers, that are sucking up tens of thousands of gallons, sometimes without even the knowledge of the city, like what took place in Georgia. Okay, I'm just sort of going off the cuff here, but they're making the quick reaction forces for ICE where to deal with, you know, whatever they call it, political unrest, domestic unrest. I think all of these things are being established ahead of basically a giant overthrow of our country on May 1st, 2028, which we should all be absolutely prepared for. And all they really need at this point, like once all these things get into place, all they need is a inflection point. All they need is a terror attack, a false flag, a nuke going off in an American city. And as I've been explaining for years, the next big terror attack, like the next big false flag attack like 9/11 will make 9/11 look like a puppet show, right? It's because that's the only thing that will work. The only thing that will work, because everybody knows now who carries off these attacks. Everybody knows, you know, the way that you move populations is by putting them into a state of terror. But knowing that doesn't really matter when the attack is real, right? So, you know, sort of what we're having to deal with. And it's really the benefit of being a, you know, secretive, highly coordinated secret society, essentially, is you impose your will on other people and they're always having to respond to you. They have the initiative because they're always the one instigating whatever the problem is. So this is the beauty of false flag. This is why they're used so often. It's like, we can recognize that COVID came from a lab. We can recognize that it was probably released on purpose and that it's being used to achieve goals that our enemies have designed. At the same time, it's a virus and you got to protect yourself from it, right? A false flag, the only thing false about it is the flag. So if they're going to try to pull off a false flag to sort of be the impetus and the ignition of the prison, you know, digital prison planet they're very rapidly building all around us, it's going to have to be something so big and so overwhelming and so traumatizing that, like, even if you know it's fake, you're going to have to go along with whatever they say, right? And look, have you seen Gaza? Have you seen what these people are capable of? Have you seen what they're willing to do if they think they can succeed? What do you think the reaction to even the most hardened conspiracy theorist would be if in a single day in April of 2028, suitcase nuclear devices explode in New York City and LA and Dallas and Omaha, Nebraska, like where else, you know, five or six, like how many do you think they could set off in a single day? How much do you think would be needed to set off in a single day for people to say, holy crap, whatever you have to do to fix this problem, do it. If there are suitcase nukes going off, and they might do it like staggered, maybe like one day it's New York and as we're reeling from that, one goes off in LA and people go, holy crap, I don't want to die in a flash of light. Do what you have to, government, right? And that's got to be the response. It's got to be that overwhelming. It's got to be that big. They may not need to even do that, though. The way things are going now, we're being strangled. We're slowly having the life squeezed out of us. Maybe a big major terror attack at this point would only, you know, reverse the trajectory. The trajectory we're on now is towards total enslavement. And we're sitting here watching the prison walls be built. We're not really doing much to stop it. So, you know, they may not need to do a false flag, but if they did, it would be one so overwhelming that even people who knew it was fake would have to submit to government control out of fear, and that fear has to be real. So again, I just see all these things being put into place, and like it's hard to keep track of all of it, and it's hard to like keep your finger on the pulse of all of these as I see like, okay, they're putting forward an anti-Semitism bill, but it gets knocked down. But now they're putting a new one that's a little bit changed. Now there's two anti-Semitism bills, one about the IHRA definition, but the other one doesn't have that definition because they want to get it through without that definition causing problems. Is it the same bill as last time? Is this a new bill? You know, it's hard to keep track. It's hard to, because it's so relentless and it's from so many fronts. And they just do it until they get what they want. So even if you defeat the bill, another bill's coming next year, and another bill's coming next year, and another until you pass it. They're going to keep altering it slightly, you know, mount a campaign against Thomas Massey, get him out of the way. Now you're one vote closer to getting that bill passed. They will move heaven and earth to achieve these goals because they genuinely, some of them genuinely, some of them artificially, believe this is an existential crisis for the Jewish people worldwide, but in particular, the state of Israel. So why is Trump going along with it? So the question is, why has Trump changed 180 degrees even to what he was just before being inaugurated in January? And that's another thing is that you see the way, like, look at the stuff that they did right as Trump got elected. One of the first things they did, the third day in office, he launched the Stargate project with Sam Altman and Larry Ellison and all of the big tech scumbag Zionist oligarchs were there in his office announcing this massive drive to build data centers and to lead on AI. And it's like, why were they so insistent on doing that right away? That couldn't have waited a month or two. Is it really, is China going to outdo us? Is it that urgent? Or is it because they need to get this done as quickly as possible, so they really can't wait because they're going to need, you know, they only have a couple years before the big, you know, communist revolution. So got to get these things in place. And also, if you announce it 3 days in, there's a lot of other stuff going on. Maybe it gets lost in the mix. And maybe by the time people start realizing what's going on, that memory of that's kind of faded. They didn't want, you know, this to be something that a bunch of people had eyes on. They wanted to announce it, let everybody sort of in their class know, hey, here's what we're doing. But they didn't want, yeah, and it's to cure your cancer, I'm sure. They didn't want to have the people, you know, asking questions about it. So it went kind of quietly. So I think one of the reasons they did a lot of this stuff early in Trump's second administration was so it could just be quietly happening in the background and not getting a lot of attention until the parts are put into place for their activation. And so then we have what happened yesterday. A couple things happened yesterday, which again, maybe it's coincidence, but I really have trouble divorcing the idea of Thomas Massey being ousted by Israel on exactly the same day that three different federal initiatives are launched. The anti-Semitism working group, the anti-Semitism speaking tour in 15 cities, and the anti-Semitism bills being put forward by Lankford and Rosen. On that same day, it's announced that Donald Trump will be immune from investigation by the IRS forever. And his whole family has somehow gotten the IRS to promise to never audit them for the rest of their lives. I think we figured out why he made the deal. I think we figured out what was the deal that Trump made. On the same day, or the day before, practically, Donald Trump is being given a $1.7 billion slush fund by the United States government, ostensibly as payback for weaponization of the government. But in reality, it's literally just a $1.7 billion slush fund for Trump to use as he sees fit. At the same time, Donald Trump Jr. and all of, you know, Trump's family members are seeing their net worth rise by billions because of the insider trading and the government contracts that they're getting in sort of the most pure examples of corruption we've seen since like Hunter Biden, pretty much. So again, Trump has And this is, it's not even a question, which is why it's so confusing that like most people can't see this. It's crazy. The boomers out there, the hell is wrong with y'all? Everything Trump ran on, he is reversing. Everything. Everything, everything, everything. Trump's H-1B approval rate for his second term is higher than his first term and higher than Obama's term, tying Biden during his first year. The current rate of approvals and pace of applications, Trump could end up approving more H-1B visa applications in his first term and maybe more than Biden. Trump's restrictions on H-1B visas, notably the 100,000 new application fee, only went into effect late September 2025. The fee does not apply to any visa holder already in the U.S., and the visa still allows for dependents to be sponsored and to migrate with them. A student visa holder can hypothetically transition to H-1B status without the fee and then sponsor main dependents. As a note, Trump has already reduced the number of approved student visas and other visas broadly with reviews of visa applications, notably visas from the 39 banned countries that are subject to extra scrutiny. But they've allowed something like 6 million H-1B approvals over the years, 3 million of those being from Trump. Okay, so he's in favor of replacing American workers with Indians. Great. You also have this. Trump backs down from requiring banks to collect citizenship information. This is another case where Trump doing this was actually genius and simple. It's just saying, hey, look, you're not allowed to open banking accounts for illegal immigrants. So you have to do the due diligence and research whether your customer is a citizen or not. But they're dropping that. Why would you drop that? There's only one reason. There's only one reason you would ever drop this. And it's because you're in favor of legal immigrants opening bank accounts here in America. Duh. Trump executive order to stop short of requiring banks to collect citizenship information. President Donald Trump will sign a pair of executive orders Tuesday aimed at insulating the U.S. financial system from undocumented immigrants and expand fintech firms' access to the Federal Reserve payment rails, a White House official told Semaphore. The first executive order is a step back from initial proposals, which were expected as recently as Tuesday to direct financial institutions to collect proof of citizenship from their customers. That drew widespread ire from the banking industry, which warned of implementation cost and potential liability. Oh, well, better back down then. Well, you better back down immediately. Now, obviously, if banks were, you know, doing something against Jews, there would be no concern about the cost or the expense or the inconvenience. They would just do it because that's how this works. When white people complain that universities are literally teaching classes hating white people and how white people are evil, we're told, sorry, First Amendment, be too expensive, be too complicated. How would we even do it? It's impossible to even say how we do it. Meanwhile, just take a look at the anti-Semitism bills. Yeah, we're going to have an officer who's going to, you know, be in charge of your school, who's going to be there to make sure that everything you do and say and all the policies you have comport themselves to, you know, the Jewish view of the world. That's how you do it. They can do it. They do it for Jews. They do it for Jews all the time. They forced the resignation of the Harvard president because she wasn't sufficiently pro-Israel. And to even say that, it's not even right. She just didn't go out of her way to break her own college's rules to shut down legal protests by the students. So again, the submission required is not just allowing things to happen. You have to proactively engage in the repression of freedom of speech or else you're the bad guy and you'll have your life destroyed. And then they'll have conservatives taking credit for it as if this was some movement against DEI, when in reality, the person that replaced the Harvard president was just as in favor of DEI, but was also an Israeli Jew. So there's that. Okay, so Trump is completely flipped on absolutely everything that he originally ran on and even ran on in 2024. And I think it's a perfectly valid speculation that, yeah, he's probably being blackmailed. His friends are probably being blackmailed. He's probably honest about that when he says that, you know, the Epstein files would embarrass some of his friends, including people like Howard Lutnick. But that's not enough. I don't think just, you know, pure blackmail would work if it even exists. You got to have the carrot and the stick. And in this case, the carrot are all of these things are this. The United States is hereby forever barred and precluded from prosecuting or pursuing examinations or similar or related reviews against Trump or related or affiliated individuals, including family members or related companies and trust. Have you ever heard of anything like this? Have you ever thought that even such a thing was possible? What does that even mean? They've somehow got the IRS to agree to never look into Trump or anybody associated with Trump. Who could pull off such a thing? What group of people have the level of influence necessary to achieve such a inordinate benefit? Like, I mean, that's crazy. I've literally never even imagined such a thing was possible. I wonder if that has anything to do with Trump turning against his original agenda. I wonder if he was told, look, you do what we say, you're immune for life, you can make billions of dollars, we'll cover it all up. Don't worry about it, it's fine. I mean, have you noticed the change in tenor, the change in atmosphere around mainstream media? Do you remember what it was like the first time Trump was president? Do you remember the relentless attacks, the constant fabrication of scandal? I mean, it's actually kind of fun to do. Go to like the Wayback Machine. Go to Google News and start searching by, you know, time period. And just look up like what CNN was talking about on literally any random weekday, any week in the first 4 years that Trump was president, 2016 through 2020. Every single day was a new ridiculous scandal. Every single week was a new, like, you know, breaking news, drop everything headline about something that like you don't even remember. Go back and look. You'll be like, oh, right. There was this big scandal over like some ridiculous thing that turned out to be totally fake. I mean, we remember the big ones. We remember the, you know, Eugene Carroll and this sort of stuff. But there, it was every day. It sort of changed, hasn't it? He's sort of gotten a free pass this go around, hasn't he? I mean, obviously they're in favor of the Iran war. But I don't think that, you know, sufficiently explains, like, they still, you know, they're like, oh, what's up with this ballroom? We don't know about this. But you'll notice, I mean, you look around, look at how the mainstream media is covering things. It is so wildly different from how it was before. I think Trump made the deal. I think he made the deal to not be investigated, to not be audited by the IRS, to not be hounded continuously by the mainstream media. And in exchange, he gave them the war with Iran. He covered up the Epstein files. He's building the data centers. He's handing over the keys of the kingdom to Palantir. And he's doing it all so that he can skate off and live as a billionaire in Israel, I guess, since he wants to be president there. I think he sold us out for this. Trump signed a directive to accelerate 6G deployment to operate implantable technologies. Nokia's CEO said that by 2030, smartphones will be implanted directly in our bodies as 6G becomes fully operational. This will likely involve a newly developed AI brain implant known as the Biological Interface System to Cortex, BICS, developed by teams at Columbia University. And of course, Trump is helping to push this forward, and he's very excited about the promise of AI and transhumanism, right? Biological Interface System to Cortex. That way, you know, they'll be able to monitor anti-Semitism while it still is an electrical charge in your neurons. Won't that be convenient? Donald Trump's junior's VC firm flaunts political edge in investment push. Donald Trump's venture capital firm is building an investment empire around quote-unquote patriotic capitalism. 1789 Capital, which counts Trump Jr. as a partner, told the FT that their assets under management have jumped from $200 million to $3.5 billion over the past year, after going on a deal-making spree with many of the leading privately held AI companies. So again, this is straight up, you know, insider trading, and it's Hunter Biden style selling of access to the president. And we'll get back into this on the other side, because I have a video of J.D. Vance explaining that, yes, the Trump administration is insider trading, but it's not Trump doing it himself. He has to have somebody do it for him, so it's fine. So why are they getting away with this? Why isn't the media hounding them about this? Why is the IRS promising to never investigate him ever? I think it's because he sold us out.
These new